First, I'd like to start off by reading our theme for this year. I want to make sure this is very early on in this series for this quarter, is to make sure that I hammer home the idea that the reason why we're studying Colossians is because Colossians 1:27 is the center point of our theme for our congregation here, and I want to make sure that we open up and just read that again just to make sure we understand the idea of that, what we're striving for. And it says, "To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in us, Christ's likeness in us, the hope of glory. And that is the theme of this year, and we want to make sure that we have that in the forefront of our minds as we study the whole context of the Colossian letter that's being written. Tonight, we're actually going to dive into Colossians 1, 9 through 14. But once again, to kind of prepare our minds, I would love for someone to volunteer and actually read verse 3 through 8, and then pause for just a second, and then go ahead and read 9 through 14. I just think that that would be appropriate to make sure we kind of lead into our discussion instead of just diving in verses 9 through 14. So, who would like to do that for me? Yes. Continue now.
9 through 14. "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins."
Thank you very much. Probably didn't know you were signing up for that many verses. But no, I appreciate it, because there's a lot of things that I want to kind of lead you all to. I'm actually going to be referring back to verses 3 through 8 just a little bit, weaving back and forth with our discussion tonight. So I thought it would be good for us to make sure that we have that leading into this. Second of all, I don't know, does everybody have a book, and did everybody get a chance to do, did everybody have a book? Raise your hand. Nobody has a book? Ah, I see hands. How exciting. Participation. This is going to be a great night. It really is going to be nice. How many of y'all did your lesson? You don't have to necessarily say yes, at least one person did. That's good. All right, so what we're going to do first and foremost is we're going to skip over this first section of the question that Shane asked you to do, okay, because it's actually exhaustive. It actually, I hope that you did do it. We will come back to it if we have time, but we literally could spend 10, 15 minutes on going through all of the different letters. And so just for the sake of time, I think you would have, you found that exercise very, very good. And we will try to come back to it if we have time. But I just wanted to make sure you know that we're going to go ahead and move on, though. And we will first discuss the second point, which is be filled with knowledge, which is in chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. And so I'm going to then ask the questions, and y'all are going to give the answers. Some of these answers we're going to seem like we're going to kind of run through not too quickly, but there's also going to be a lot of points where we're going to have a lot of time to discuss. So just wanted to give everybody a heads up. So Paul prayed that the Colossians would be filled with knowledge of God's will, manifest in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Wait until I say that "and," all right, Paul, and then you can answer. Just want to let you know how I handle things. All right, okay, very good. All right. So, wisdom and understanding, all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let me go ahead and ask the next question or phrase as it sets up. These three terms are found together in many other places in the Bible. I would like for us to go ahead and turn to Exodus 31, verse 3. Exodus 31, verse 3. And who would like to read that for me? Yes. Very good. So do you see here he uses all three phrases or three terminologies once again here in Exodus? What are the three terminologies? It would be the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Okay? Or in the order, I think, Kyle, that you read it, did you read it knowledge or wisdom, understanding, and then knowledge? That's the... Okay, that's the way it is in the Hebrew, the way it lays it out. Whose Bible says something a little bit different? Probably different translation. Mine says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God with ability and intelligence with knowledge, and then all craftsmanship. How many people have that? That's the English Standard Version. Okay, so just wanted to kind of just point out very quickly that in the original language, it is all wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Just wanted to kind of point that out there before you get to the word craftsmanship. So those three words that we just went over, those are the three words being used, the three words that also was used also in our passage here, verse 9 through 10. Okay. So pondering those three words. And by the way, if you turn to those other passages, Paul uses very similar language, not necessarily all three of those words, but if you read all three of those other letters and passages, you will get the idea of the summation of these three words. Does that make sense? The wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Okay, so if you turn to those, you would have seen that. Now, what I want us to focus on is those three words. How would you distinguish these three words? How would you define these three words? So let's start with knowledge. How would you define knowledge?
Information.
Yep, very good. Intellect. Knowledge. Anything else? Any other terms that you can think of? Just knowing something, you know, kind of just playing on that word. In the IT world, I would call it data. Here's the data. I know this information, right? You know, basically the raw information, like she was saying, all the actual data that is being laid out. That's usually how we describe knowledge. Now, we're used to comparing, are we not? We're used to comparing knowledge versus wisdom. So let's go ahead and talk about wisdom. How would you describe or define wisdom?
Insight.
Okay. The ability to use the knowledge. Doing the right thing with the knowledge that you have.
good judgment.
Knowledge guided by understanding.
Okay. Boy, you just brought up a very interesting point. Knowledge guided by understanding. That's a very, very good point. Okay. So wisdom, we always put as a higher goal, right? It's the way of applying that data. So you have all this data, you have all this information, but you actually have wisdom on how to use that information or to use it in a way for good or for a bigger benefit. You're taking that raw data. So that brings me to an interesting point, though, because he also includes the word understanding. How would you distinguish this word understanding versus wisdom versus knowledge?
Comprehension.
Comprehension. Yeah, both you all saying the same thing. Just John wasn't as loud, ironically. But yes, understanding. Very good. And Shane put it like this to me, that it's the idea of the doctor, you might have symptoms that would be the data. You know this, and this, and that is going on. The doctor then uses his knowledge and wisdom to be able to identify, well, then you have this. But then the understanding is when to do something and how to treat it. So he kind of goes a step further in this idea that it is different, it is comprehension. It is maybe putting together a comprehensive plan. When I was kind of doing a deep dive on the word, it had this idea of being able to line things up or using your intellect, you know, the fullness of your brain. So those are the three words that's being used. They are separate words. We're used to dealing with wisdom and knowledge, but he's including understanding here. And once again, I want to point out, let me go back, I want to go back, that he's saying that, let me go back to Colossians here. Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10, he's saying to them, so from the day that we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And but up above, in verses 3 through 8, we read, hey, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope that was laid up for you in heaven, and all of this we heard before, the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, indeed the whole world, bearing fruit and increasing. And it says here, bearing fruit as also does among you since the day we have heard it, the day that you heard it and what? Understood. Okay? So Paul heard about the brethren. He prayed, and he's saying, ever since you understood this, but yet he's telling them again what? I am praying, ever since we heard, I have not ceased to pray for you, asking you to be filled with knowledge of his will, all spiritual wisdom, and understanding. So what does that tell us? Did they understand before Paul found out about it? Did they have fruit before Paul heard about them? Did they have knowledge before Paul heard about them? Knowledge of God and his will. Did they? Yes, right? So this is going to be a recurring thought that I have for you tonight. This was very interesting to me. That they had some understanding. They had knowledge. They had fruit. They had accepted the hope of heaven. And now he's saying to them, listen, yes, you had that. And from the very beginning, when I heard this, I have then not ceased praying that you may be filled even more with knowledge. Be filled with knowledge of his will, all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work. You understand where I'm going with this. They were already fruit-bearing Christians. They were already knowledgeable Christians. They were already Christians of understanding. Does that make sense? But he then did not stop there. He's saying, I am praying for more. I'm praying for more power. I'm praying for more understanding, more knowledge, more wisdom. I think that is important for us to understand that I feel like that we bear fruit. I think our congregation here has shown signs to bear fruit. How would you like if someone says, well, I'm praying that you will continue to bear fruit. I'm praying that you have more knowledge. Well, I mean, be like, well, we have knowledge. But there's always more. It's like a constant constant striving for grasping at how big and how wonderful God is. It's the idea that we don't always necessarily always get to that end goal. It's always this idea that we're always learning and growing in the knowledge of God. Does that make sense? We're always striving to bear fruit. It's not that we bear fruit and all of a sudden it's done. It's a constant action. It's something that we are to be longing for every day. It's we're not complete yet. He is still working on us. And that's what Paul is saying to them. He's saying, you continue in these things. I'm going to continue to pray for these things. Because who's waiting for them to fall? Who's all around them trying to put pressure on them to not continue obeying God? Right? All of these different powers and these different things caused by Satan. So Paul understands this, so he's doing all of this to make sure and remind them of this power and things around them. So very good. So let me go ahead and move on. Just wanted to kind of, because we're going to hit this a little bit more, I've kind of been hitting on it. Verses 10, Paul lists four results of his prayer for wisdom expressed in parallel phrases involving verb and a preposition. Okay? I'm not a big-time English grammar person, so I need y'all's help on this, okay? So, as to walk in, what's that? Manner worthy of the Lord. And we're in verse 10 there, so if you didn't fill out your book, you could follow along and yell these out for me. I want to hear more than one person. Fully pleasing to
him.
Thanks, Paul. That's what I'm talking about. In all respects. Some Tammy's translation mentions in all respects. Y'all? So that's the idea of this preposition. Fully pleasing to him in all respects. Bearing fruit in every good work. Increasing in knowledge of God. Okay. Once again, I thought it was very interesting to me that in verses 3 through 8, he acknowledged that what he had heard was these things. Does that make sense? But yet that didn't stop him from continually praying for them so that they may continue in these things. And I just think that that's a good takeaway for us, is regardless of where we're at, where we think we're at, we always could use more wisdom, more understanding, more fruit, more opportunities to increase in the knowledge of God. That's just a really important takeaway. The first phrase speaks of them walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. Take a look at these other passages. So let's turn to Ephesians 4:1. And what's it refer to there? If someone can turn to it and read it fairly quickly. So walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. What other ways? Worthy of the calling to which you were called. What about Philippians 1:27? That was the typo. Did everybody get his email? So instead of Philippians 2:17, it's Philippians 1:27.
Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel.
Very good. So, walking in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Okay. Now, when we think about that word, yes, you got a question in the back. No, very good. Very good point. And that's exactly kind of what I'm getting at, is the idea of continued encouragement is kind of what that theme of that walk looks like. Now, when I think of that word worthy, what does that mean? Worthy. We sing that song, there's a song, Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy Lord. We say that our Lord is worthy. Isn't that right? So what does that word mean? That?
Deserved.
Okay. Anything else came to mind?
Capable.
Worthy.
Respect.
So it says here that we are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We are worthy of his calling, worthy of the gospel of Christ. Do you feel worthy? Do you feel worthy? Do you feel worthy to walk alongside of God, the Lord? Do you feel like you're worthy of the calling? Have you ever thought about that? Do you feel like you're deserving or sufficient, or what was the other word used?
Capable.
Yes.
It's not necessary how worthy we are. It is the manner that we do it. We can be respectful in how we do it, and that's what it is. It's not that we are worthy of anything. He's worthy. We sing a song worthy of riches, blessings, and honor.
Yeah.
He's worthy. But when it says to partake of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner, we're talking about how you partake.
Yeah.
It's your attitude outward, and how you look at what you're doing.
Right.
Not whether you're worthy.
So on that point, which is kind of what we're going to go to right now, is in what sense can we never be worthy of the Lord, our calling, or our gospel? Similar to what Mickey's saying, right?
We're flawed, we sin.
We're flawed, we sin, right? So we never can be worthy. From that standpoint, right? We are never and can never be worthy. Yes.
It's, if we could be worthy, Christ didn't have to die.
That's right.
So to walk worthy to me means that we walk in such a way that we get to say, I'm with him. And that's what makes us worthy. I'm with him.
Right. Yes.
Thank you.
matter how much action, right?
Right.
No matter how much you do. Now, how many times you check it off, right? No matter how many times you read your Bible daily, right? Will we ever get to the point on our own to be worthy? No. That doesn't mean any of the things that I mentioned shouldn't be done. Am I right? Because we are to increase in the knowledge. We are to have understanding, right? That's what you're saying. So, in what sense can we walk worthy of the Lord, our calling, and the gospel? In what sense, in what only sense can we do that? Because we are redeemed by who? By who? By who?
The only worthy one.
Who are we redeemed by? Everybody say it right now. Christ. Say, Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Say it again. Christ lives in me. Listen, that is the only way in which we are worthy. That's the only way is it's Christ. It's the only way in which we can stand before the Father. Yes, ma'am. Verse 6? Okay,
verse
that's
6. And I'll start back a few words of 5. The word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. They understood the grace of God in truth. And if I've got a habit, I mean, in my high school class, every time the word grace comes up, I say, what does that mean? It means unmerited favor. So the grace of God, you understood that the unmerited favor is given. We don't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We don't have any claim on it.
Right.
But they understood the grace of God in truth.
Yeah.
Now, if you understand the grace of God in truth and you realize the unmerited favor that you don't deserve, then that's what brings the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding out. That you actually understand what,
right,
what he's done.
Yeah, and that makes us worthy. Only through that grace.
That's right.
That's right. So here's a question I wanted to ponder upon because this is speaking to me. When I wake up and when you wake up every morning, what state do you find yourself most in? In an unworthy state, okay? Or in a worthy state? Think about that honestly. I'll go ahead and speak for myself. I'll have to admit that most of my days I look at myself in an unworthy state. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to always remember. You understand that? Always remember that we are flesh and that we are not worthy. How should we live as Christians? Should we live in a worthy state or an unworthy state? What's that? Worthy. Yes. What is Paul telling to them? Is he speaking to them in this opening saying, by the way, you're not worthy. By the way, you're worthless. By the way, you deserve death. By the way, you had sin, and therefore you were the lowest of lowest, and therefore, is that what he's saying? No, he's jumping right to this idea that you are worthy. You are worthy of the calling. You are worthy of the gospel. And I'm admitting to you right now, and I don't know how many of you all feel this way. I don't necessarily wake up every day and think about my idea of I am worthy through Christ. I am worthy because of the gospel. I am worthy because of his word, the gospel that gave it to me. I am worthy because of Christ Jesus, my Savior. Who's with me? I'm being serious. I think I needed that encouragement that Paul's given to the Colossians. They are worthy. He's encouraging them. How would your day go about different with those two different mindsets. If you didn't feel like you were worthy, then did you feel like that you were forgiven? If you, just subconsciously, if you didn't feel like that you're really worthy or worth anything, would you walk around your day thankful? Answer me. Yes or no? No. Would you be more interested in extending grace if you were walking about your day feeling like you don't have grace given to you? Would you? Would you extend grace? No. But what if you woke up with the understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom grace has been extended to you and that you're worthy through Christ Jesus? And you woke up every day like that. How quickly would you extend grace to other people? Yes or no? Huh? Yes. How quickly would you let a guy cut you off in front of you driving your car, knowing that you are worthy of the calling of an eternal life? How quickly would you not get upset about that? Much quicker than I do. Y'all with me? Y'all understand what I'm saying? That this kind of hit me like a ton of bricks this week. The idea is I need to be waking up with this idea of encouragement and worthiness through Christ Jesus. And that's what he's telling them. He doesn't even know them. But he's telling them, you are worthy. I want to, you came to me as soon as I heard about you. I heard that you had knowledge. I heard you had understanding. I heard you had fruit. I want to encourage you more. I want to encourage you more to continue in that. Any thoughts? Yeah. Yeah, and we are filling our lives with good works, fully pleasing to him, with this idea that Christ is fulfilling our all. Does that make sense? So it's a combination of all those things. I think what you're saying, Martha, is absolutely right. We're bearing fruit. We're doing all these things. But why are we doing all these things? It's because of who? Because of Christ. If it's not because of Christ, we can do good things and still not be worthy of the calling. Am I right? Can you be a good steward and not be worthy in the eyes of God? If you have not identified Christ as your Savior, in other words, it takes more than doing works. It takes more than just doing things, checking off the boxes. But if you are fully pleasing and you're fully accepting of his grace, and therefore, you're going to walk worthy of the calling because that's what your calling is. Does that make sense? So that's exactly correct. And he follows up with this in verse 11 through 14, strengthened with power that we read earlier. In addition to praying for them to be filled with wisdom, Paul also prays that they be strengthened with power. He prays something similar in Ephesians 3. Which we won't necessarily turn to. But here is the question there. Where is that verse at? Verse 11. It says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. So the question is, according to what were they to be strengthened? With his glorious might, with all power, enabling and encouraging. And then it says, for what were they to be strengthened? Verse 11.
All endurance and patience.
All endurance and patience. With what? With joy. And that endurance being steadfastness. Okay? So, there to be strengthened. And also Ephesians 3:14 through 16 does explain the idea of his spirit in your inner being, Christ dwelling in your heart. Did you all get that when you all looked up that passage? If you didn't look up Ephesians 3:14 through 16, that's what it says there, is the idea that Christ dwelling in our hearts with all of this power. Do we experience this power? Who all has experienced this power? Yeah, Grace has. Who else? No one else? Jackson, you have?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got one in the back that has, yeah? Experience? Good job. We got three. Anyone else experience this power he's referring to? Monica, what do you think? Yeah, give me that look. It's okay.
I think we all
have. Oh, I think so too. But as you can tell, tonight my goal is encouragement. I want us all to recognize and be encouraged tonight. I'm doing the best I can, just so y'all know. I really am doing the best I can. Mickey, yes. Right. Very good point. Very good point. Okay. So my last point, I'm determined to get past these three phrases here. In verse 12, Paul writes that they should give thanks to the Father, and then he lists three things that God the Father has done. In verse 12, he has what, Paul?
Qualified
you to share in the inheritance. He has what? Thank you. I was looking for someone over here. There's only a few of y'all, but regardless. Delivered us from the dominion of darkness. He has, let's look from the center here. We're going to have fun. He has what?
Transferred
us to the kingdom of his blood, beloved son. He has qualified us. That word qualified. You know, when I think about that word qualified, I think about applying for a job. And I list all my qualities, my qualifications. Well, you know what? As Christians, what do we have on our resume that makes us qualified? Here's my resume. What's on it?
Experience.
No.
The blood of Christ.
The blood of Christ. That's right. Let's get with it, people. The only thing on this piece of paper that makes you qualified is what? The blood of Jesus Christ and him crucified. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Y'all with me? That's it. That makes us qualified. And he delivered us from somewhere. Where did he deliver us from? The dominion of darkness. Thank you. Very good. And he transferred us. And that word transferred, Shane goes into a little more detail with that. The idea of being transplanted. We use that term sometimes. Hey, I'm a transplant. You know, which means what?
Move.
I'm not from here. I'm from Michigan. We say go back. By the way, my mom's from Michigan, so I can say that. She's from Detroit, and she's a pickle and a half. So, but transplant, he has qualified. We're qualified through him. He has removed us from darkness into what?
Light.
Into light. That's right. And now we are to walk in a way pleasing to the light. That's what he has done for us. He has transplanted. Planted us, uprooted. We use that. I've been uprooted from my home. You know, from my home. I've been uprooted, completely taking us and making us new. He's transplanted. a beautiful, beautiful thing. And what he's saying to them, because didn't they already have understanding and knowledge, and they had obeyed the gospel, and he heard good things from them. So what he's saying, and the takeaway, he's saying, don't lose sight. Don't listen to the powers on the outside. I mean, you're talking about the Greek and Roman philosophies of men that's going on in Colossians. You also have the Jews who's talking about the power that they have in God. And think about all the powers that they're trying to refer to, all these Greek and Roman gods and the power of thunder and lightning and the seas and the Jews and the power that they talk about. What kind of power would they be talking about? Hey, look what our God did in the Red Sea and all that. And what Paul is saying is, no, I want you to expand and redefine what power means to you. And it means the gospel of Christ. And that's what he's concluding with here. So, anyway, I appreciate y'all trying to play along. And y'all woke up a little bit towards the end. I do appreciate that. So thanks, and Shane will be back soon enough.